Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to Tigers in 20 Off the Boards, a Go Tigers 247 audio podcast where we bring you breaking news and interviews with players, top recruits, coaches, and influencers from football and basketball across the city of Memphis and around the nation. Now, let's get to the episode. Welcome back to Go Tigers 247's Off the Boards. My name is Kenny Stubblefield, lead digital content creator for Go Tigers 247. And I got the man on here today. I got the big man. Going to be playing a lot this year. We've heard a lot about him this offseason. I got Caden Priestcorn on the line with me today. What's up, Caden?
What's up?
Man, you doing all right?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Just going through camp.
Before we started talking, or before we started recording, you told me these last couple of days have been pretty jam-packed, man. Tell me, what does normal day in training camp look like for you?
For me, I like to get here early because I like to get here, eat, have it spread out. So I eat and go in the cold tub before we have to go to meetings. And we go to meetings and we have a lift on every other day. Then we go to walkthrough. Then we have another lunch. And a lot of people stay here to get extra treatment, or they sleep here, or some of them go back home. But then we have practice and meetings around, it's like 2 to 5. And then we have a lot of people get treatment after practice and there's a dinner. So we're about here till, I'm here till 5:30 to like 9 at night.
So you're there literally 14 hours pretty much.
Yeah.
Maybe even 16 hours.
Yeah, these last couple of days have been 14, 15 hours.
So tell me about this cold tub thing. Like, are you into how cold does it get? Like, what does that do for your body?
I feel like it's like after practice or like before practice, like I use the hot tub, cold tub. So like for the hot tub, I usually go in it before practice because to get my body warmed and like get everything loose. Then after practice, I get in the cold tub because like my legs are like tired and it just helps like recovering.
Have you ever tried the, so is it along the same lines as like that cryo therapy?
Yeah, it's like a contrast, like 5 cold, 5 hot. We just go back and forth.
Have you ever tried the cryo tanks?
No, they look pretty sweet though.
I mean, you're like, how long do you have to usually spend? You said 5 minutes in, 5 minutes out.
Probably like 20 minutes total.
Man, that's crazy. I like to be cold. I don't know if I like to be that cold though.
I know it is pretty cold.
My body runs pretty hot already, so I tend to like the cold weather. So this summer's been pretty brutal. Not as brutal for me as it has been for you, man. This summer has been uniquely hot in Memphis, and you guys have been out there every single day grinding, man. Tell me about it.
I know our strength staff has been like done a great job this off season in general since I've been here. And it's just like, especially these hot summers, it's like all that running, I feel like it's got us ready for fall camp.
Yeah, I mean, do you feel like you guys are prepared? Like, do you – so I saw a lot of the Instagram of a lot of the players. Y'all kind of had a couple of days off before you started training camp. Was that a good recovery time for you? Did you stay in Memphis or did you go back to Michigan?
I stayed in Memphis. My family came down. My little brother was down here. I have a little brother. And my family came down, and I have a son, a little baby, and he just turned one, so they came down for the little birthday.
Dude, congratulations, man!
Thank you.
You got a 1-year-old, dude. Boys are the best.
Yeah.
I have an 8-year-old son and a 10-year-old daughter, and it just gets better and better, man. Even I know that 1 year, it's like they're starting to sleep through the night. They're doing okay, and it's a really fun time. But man, when they hit that 6, 7, 8-year-old range, bro, it's a great time.
I know. I just watch them grow every day. Just love seeing it.
It's wild, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does he look like mom or does he look like dad?
I've got a mixture of both.
There you go. There you go. He'll change. He'll start probably looking like dad pretty soon. More so.
He's big.
Is he a big boy?
Yeah.
Well, listen, you're not small. I was looking at pictures of you from when you came to Memphis in 2019. You were listed at 6'6", 215. And then I was looking at stuff today, and you are 6'6", 250, 255. Mm-hmm. Is that how much you weigh now, 255?
Yeah, I came into Memphis at like 6'6", like 220, because I was a former quarterback in high school and right. like at prep school in Fork Union. So then when I got here, I changed positions and I'm almost 260. I've gained like almost 40 pounds since I've been here. It's been a crazy transition.
How have you done that? And how has your body responded to that?
I feel like it's done a pretty good transition over the year. I mean, I had a couple injuries in the offseason last season, but I feel like it's responded good. Like this offseason, it's probably my best offseason ever, and it's just helped me these last couple of days, and it's just showing on the field.
Do you think that you described it as your best offseason? Was it because you made it through unscathed, or do you feel like there's been a ton of growth for you in your skill set, in your endurance, and all those things? Like, what made it the best offseason for you so far?
I feel like a mentality change, like, after the season ended, because knowing that Sean Dykes left, and I played behind him. Like, I played maybe 10 to 20 snaps maybe. And just seeing what he did, and I kind of want to do the same thing what he did.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I want to ask you a little bit about your time at Memphis, but I want to go back a little bit to high school. You mentioned it earlier at the beginning of the interview that you played quarterback, and you played quarterback at Fork Union Military Academy in Virginia, but you're not originally from Virginia. You're from Michigan, right?
Yes, sir.
So how did you get down to Fork Union? Was that I'm going to go play football there, or how did you get to Virginia to play at Fork Union?
So one of my buddies, Harold Nash, he's a safety on the team, and his dad works in the NFL, and he had a connection with one of his players that he was training. His brother went to Fork Union. And so Nash said he was going, because me and him played high school football together. So Harold Nash, the safety on our team, he said he was going to Fork Union, and I didn't really have anything out of high school. Probably could have maybe like played basketball and football D2, or maybe like the FCS offer, or I could have walked on somewhere. But then I went to – he's like, I'm going to Fork Union. So I was like, I need to do that too. So I hopped on board with him all the way to Fork Union Military Academy, which in the middle of nowhere in Virginia, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah, man, I was looking at the map of Virginia and found Fork Union, and I was like, damn, there ain't nothing around there.
it's nothing. Like, not 30 minutes away, there's first fast food place, 40 minutes maybe.
So how long were you at Fork Union?
So I graduated high school in 2018. I did a prep school year in 2019. So we were there from like August to like the beginning of December. So we were about five months.
Okay, so that makes sense to me. I was a little bit confused when I saw that, because I saw that you were in Michigan for a while playing high school ball, but you took a kind of not a stretch year, but you took like a prep school year and played at Fork Union in 2000 and was it 18 or 19?
It was 2018.
Yeah, so it was 18, because you were a redshirted freshman here at Memphis in 2019.
Yes.
So you played quarterback. How did you immediately came to Memphis and joined the tight end room. How was that transition for you going from playing quarterback and when you jump into college playing tight end?
I feel like it's a lot, like the physicality of it. You like the tight end position, you have to do a lot. So you have to run routes like a receiver and basically block like a lineman. So like the receiver part, like I've always played, like I was a basketball player. So like I've always had like pretty good hands, good feet. So I was like, that part I was pretty like solid. I was solid at it. I'm still working on it. But blocking part, I was 220 quarterback. So never played really defense my whole life, really, besides maybe Little League a little bit. Never played defense in high school. Only played quarterback. So that position's just been – I've been growing up like the blocking part throughout my career here. And I'm still growing on it.
I mean, you're leading me right into some questions that I had for you, but the tight end position is really unique, right? Like, you guys mm-hmm. have to – you're expected to block ends and linebackers. You're expected to also run pretty crisp routes and have pass-catching ability. And the way that this – in this day and age of college football – the tight end is used in a plethora of ways. Like, a tight end is more important now than ever in terms of being able to stretch the field and being able to, you know, block people. But it's crazy because, like, those two skills are skills that you could literally spend like 100% of your time on and still have major opportunities for growth. I mean, there are linemen that still are learning when they get into the NFL or into high level Division I football that have been doing that literally all they do every day is just block, 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 block. And then there's receivers that are still learning how to run routes well, but you're expected to do both. How do you and the staff kind of measure out how much time to spend on each skill?
I feel like Coach Salem does a good job with doing everything. Because that's what the tight end position is. Like you said, you have to, like, you got to block. You've got to block defensive ends, linebackers. You even got to block corners, shifty corners. And then you got to run route. You got to run routes like a receiver. So you have to run by safeties and corners. And you have to. And you know, when you have the ball in your hands, you got to run like a running back. So it's literally a mixture of every position in one. And we do a good job, like. The drills he has at practice, doing receiver stuff and lineman stuff, and sometimes we're with the all linemen doing stuff. So he does a good job with that, just working our technique and fundamentals.
So do you feel like your time at quarterback in high school kind of gave you a leg up in terms of really understanding how to run routes and where a receiver wants the ball? You know, do you feel like the pass catching ability and run routing, the route running ability was something that just came more naturally to you than figuring out how to block somebody?
Yeah, definitely. Because playing a quarterback, I kind of have a quarterback mindset. I pride myself on having like a good football IQ, like knowing where people are on the field. And then the catching and running route ability, I was a pretty good basketball player growing up in high school. So that's helped me a lot.
So tell me about this basketball thing, man. I'm a basketball guy. I've grown up playing basketball, love the game. I'm learning football, love football so much, especially this Tiger program. It's just so much fun to be around, and the energy and the vibes around it are just incredible. Have you noticed that some of your basketball playing skills, your footwork, your ability to box out, like rebounding, has that helped you as you've kind of concentrated more heavily on football now?
Yeah, definitely 100%. I feel like it's helped out a lot.
What are some of the sneaky basketball moves you put in on the field that some guys aren't ready for?
Definitely when I catch the ball, like drop stepping, getting forward, getting vertical, yeah. Just trying to get as many yards as possible.
Yeah. Is that lateral movement, right? That makes you, yep. It makes you a little bit shifty. I feel you on that. I feel you.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
So, man, when you came here to Memphis, you were – it's hard because, like, it probably was helpful for you because you're coming in, learning a new position, but there wasn't an expectation for Caden Priestcorn to come in and have to be the guy in the tight end position immediately. You were playing alongside and backing up the best tight end to ever play at Memphis in Sean Dykes. How did Snag help you grow? How did Snag help you grow in that position?
I feel like ever since we got here, I think we've had a really good tight end room. And I feel like all the older guys since I've been here have helped me learn the position, and even the coaching staff before Silverfield Norvell, like some of the GAs, they helped me, which because when I got here in 2019, they put me aside and just like even work a stance. Like I've never gotten a stance before. So they helped me with that. And transition at the year after, transition the year after was a big change as well, because when I first got here, because I was a walk-on, and so I didn't get here till like mid-season cotton bowl year. So 2019. Okay. Yeah, so I got there like mid-season.
Yeah.
So then I didn't really even know the offense. And the next year kind of transitioned, knowing what to do, learning the offense. And that year kind of helped. I mean, even though COVID happened, I still was – I was training a lot, like just receiver stuff. That kind of helped me out. And then transitioning to now, I feel like all the guys, Sean Dykes, John Hassel, even some of the people before them, they've really helped me like understand the offense, what to do, because they've been here so long. So like I'd probably ask 10 questions a day about what to do and what not to do.
Right. I mean, that makes total sense, right? Like, I mean, you've got, you know, prior to you coming, even during that 2019 year, that linebacker or that tight end room was Sean Dykes and Joey Magnifico,
Joey.
Who is obviously, I think he's still playing, but he was a head coach at a local high school here in Memphis last year. And then obviously, like you said, you know, Sean kept playing and then John Hassel was there. It's interesting though, man, like, you know, I've been covering the Memphis football team for the better part of 4 years, 5 years now. So the entirety of Ryan Silverfield's head coaching role or head coaching time here at Memphis, there's one thing that has kind of remained true throughout his entire time is that he's extremely tight-lipped about his roster. During spring, during summer, he's extremely tight-lipped. He doesn't really say much. He doesn't give much away at all. But I don't know if you've noticed this summer, he's mentioned one name in particular twice, and that's you. He's mentioned Caden Priestcorn twice. One of the latest media availabilities that he did, he talked about this expanded role for you at the tight end position, and that there's an expectation on you to fulfill that role. Behind the scenes, have you felt that expectation on you?
I mean, I'm really just not really. I just feel like it's not like expected of me, but I feel like in myself that, like, seeing, like what I said earlier, like seeing Sean do what he do, I'm trying to make that step, like that leap from last year to do more. And I feel like with the offseason I had in the weight room, in the summer conditioning, and even these last couple of days in camp, I feel like I put that on myself, and that's what I want to do.
So the expectation is not an outside expectation. You've got that internal expectation that, yo, man, this is going to be my year. Like, I need to step up.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. How have you noticed with obviously Tim Kramsey coming on as the new offensive coordinator? Is there a pretty expansive role for the tight end in his offense?
No, I feel like now in college football, the tight end role is bigger than ever. I feel like it's probably that in a lot of these offenses now, the tight end role is just. I mean, it was a big role last year. It was a big role before that. But, I mean, it's about the same. But, yeah, it's really about the same.
So, how's your relationship with Seth, man? Have you guys really been able to build a strong bond out there on the field?
Yeah, I feel like this offseason, ever since January, we've throwing Saturdays, just getting together whenever, even outside of football, doing stuff. I feel like it's grown significantly, and it's just going to show on the field.
Yeah, I was talking to the newest graduate assistant at the University of Memphis, and Brady White, a couple of days ago, and he talked about one of the biggest developments in Seth is just in his growth and in his becoming a man out there, like, you know, his body changing, putting on more weight. That the ball is zipping a lot more around the field. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed his arm strength and just an increase in those things?
Yeah, I feel like these last couple of days, he's definitely in that dude. he's shown a lot. Like his reads, his progression. I feel like the game's so much slower to him now. I mean, as a freshman doing what he did last year, that's not too many people can do that. Coming in as a freshman and playing like that and beating two really good football teams, beating six really good wins. But we just let a couple games slip away last year.
Absolutely, man. I know it's interesting because I haven't had a chance to talk to any players since the AAC media day. And I know that in the preseason, this might not be a concern to you guys at all. And I doubt that it is, but they've got y'all fifth in the preseason rankings this year. And I'm going to be honest with you, Caden, it just does not feel like the Tiger team is getting the respect that they deserve. And, did you guys see that? Or is that something that you're just, your head is down and y'all are just grinding every day? Y'all don't see those kinds of things? Or did you see that? And does that kind of put a little bit of a, yo, we got to come out here and show you guys what's up?
Yeah, we definitely just putting our head down and just worried about what we can control and just worrying about ourselves. But it definitely just adds fuel to the fire. Just what everybody else is saying, we just got to worry about ourselves. We got to show them on the field. That's our job.
Absolutely. So you mentioned your brother. Y'all got a big family, man. Is it just you two, or is there more kids involved?
Yeah, I'm the oldest, and I have a little brother. I have two little brothers and a little sister. One's a sophomore in college. The one's going to be a junior in high school, and I have a little sister that's eight. Man, I'm going to third grade.
your little sister will never have an issue with anybody ever messing with her, will she?
No, she's tall already.
Man, y'all are so y'all. Your brother, Braden. I was like, he's already 6'6", and he's gonna be a what is he? Is he a junior this year?
Yeah, he's gonna be a junior.
Man, y'all grow him well up in Michigan, man. Y'all are some big boys up there. You proud of your brother Braden and what he's been able to do out there?
Brady's been he had a good season as a sophomore last year. And
I gotta call him Brady. I've been calling him Braden. It's Brady. I apologize, yeah, dude.
You're good. It's all right. Yeah, after that, because their team went to the state championship last year in Michigan in Division One, which is the highest division. He had a really, really good game in the state championship. And ever since then, these offers just been piling in. I mean, he's a really good player.
So did he start playing tight end because you started playing tight end, or was that a position that he's been playing for a minute?
He's been playing like kind of like the receiver tight end position his whole life and like defense. So he's already got the advantage on me and playing high school.
So he's got some extra years and extra years in that position to that's awesome, man. So I noticed something on your Twitter. I was looking at your Twitter the other day, and I noticed a bunch of Kobe Bryant quotes and retweets and things like that. Was Kobe Bryant an inspiration for you? Has he been one throughout your life?
Yeah, just watching his work ethic and what he did his whole career, like getting up early morning to late at night, probably like 4 or 5 workouts a day. He'd probably work out 8-10 hours a day. Just seeing what he did, and even what after basketball, seeing what he was as a father and like to his 3 little girls. It was just, he's the best ever to me.
He's the GOAT, man. I agree.
That's my GOAT.
Is that your GOAT?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, man. I'm right there with you, man. I don't think you can go wrong putting Kobe Bryant in the GOAT category. You had a quote in there from him that I thought was super dope, and I wanted to just get your thoughts on it. You said, "I have nothing in common with lazy people who blame others for their lack of success. Great things come from hard work and perseverance. No excuses. Dedication sees dreams come true." I saw you retweet that. Did that kind of hit you? Did that hit a nerve? Did that hit? What did that? When you read that, were you like, "I love this"? Like, what did that make you feel?
I felt like I can't blame other people. Like, I have to step up to the plate. Like, it's like I have to own up to everything and be what I said. Like I want to be in my head. Like, what I'm meant, like what I'm thinking, like I gotta do it. Like, if I want to have a good season, like I gotta go out and do it. I can't just sit back and just go through the motions.
There's no expectations. You can't expect for things just to happen. You have to go out there and work hard, right?
Yep.
I love it, man. I love that dedication sees dreams come true. I think that's so true. And it's clear that you've adopted that mentality, especially with you talking about how much time you spend at the facility and all the extra work that truth be told, man, like spring and summer workouts are, I think the spring and summer, especially summer workouts, really, really separate the excuse makers and the dream seers, the dream come true people, because you guys are doing stuff behind the scenes that nobody's going to see. Nobody's going to see that. How do you stay motivated during off-season stuff and during those summer workouts where, man, I might just like go lazy on this set or you know, this today, man, I'm just not feeling 100%. I'm not going to work as hard. Like, how do you stay motivated to every single time you're in that facility or, you know, whatever it is you're doing, that you're putting everything into it?
I feel like I'm so self-driven, and like I like me like these last couple years. I mean, I've had a couple catches. I've played a little bit, but like that's not what I want. I want to get that bigger role, and do more. Whether it's special teams, offense, whatever I have to do, I just want to take a step up. That's what keeps me so self-driven and motivated throughout this whole summer, whatever, whether it's a workout in the 6 a.m. coming back here all night with nobody here, that's what keeps me so motivated.
It's interesting, man, because there's a lot of guys on the team right now that are describing exactly what you're describing, and that's that there's the level of focus and dedication that, you know, there has become a long history of really talented players, you know, playing on Sundays, you know, from the University of Memphis. A lot of those skill position guys have been able to make that transition. You are in that same boat where you have the opportunity to back, you have the opportunity to come behind two of the best tight ends to ever play at the University of Memphis, and Joey Magnifico and Sean Dykes. And so I'm excited to hear that there's a level of like, I want to not only do right by me, I want to do as well as I can do, but continue that tradition, right?
Yeah, that's 100%. I want to continue that. Seeing what they did, that's something I want to make that step up and do. Take that next step.
I love it, man. And I know Tiger fans are going to hear this interview and go, you know what, man? Because you're right. You've played some, but you haven't had much of a role since you've been here. But this is the year for you. And I think even Ryan has mentioned that numerous times, right? Like, this is your year. And I love it because he never says that stuff. And it was just, when he said your name, it kind of like, I was like, whoa, like you don't hear Ryan mention names like this. And so I think everybody on our boards was like, we got to hear from this guy because, you know, we know your name. Everybody knows Caden Priestcorn, but is he going to have a much bigger role this year? It seems like it. So everybody's excited for that, man. I think everybody's excited to see what you do this year.
Thank you. Yeah, can't wait for the season.
All right, I got two more questions for you, fan questions. I want to get to know Caden Priestcorn just a little bit. If you could only watch one movie and listen to one album for the rest of your life, what would it be? You could only watch one movie and listen to one album for the rest of your life. What album and what movie would you choose?
One movie. Let me think.
The movie one is difficult for everybody because there's so many good movies out there.
And one movie the rest of my life.
That's it. Only one.
Probably one of like Avengers Endgame. I'm a Marvel fan.
Are you a big Marvel fan? What'd you think what'd you think about the new Thor?
I thought it was pretty good, but some people thought it was like a little too comical, but I still liked it a lot.
Well, they kind of made that, and when they did Ragnarok, that was the way that Thor was gonna go, right? Like they wanted to make it that way. And yeah, I'm a big Marvel fan. Have you done the chronological order yet?
Yeah, I watched them all basically in order, all like 20 plus, and now I'm watching the Disney Plus shows.
Oh, are you watching those? Which one has been your favorite so far?
Probably either Loki or Hawkeye.
See, I haven't seen Hawkeye, but I've watched Loki. I need to watch Hawkeye. So I've heard that's a good one. Yeah, my whole family, we're Marvel freaks, so we've done the chronological order twice now. So my 10-year-old daughter knows more about Marvel than most people I know. All right, what's the album? What album would you listen to?
Ooh, album. Probably one of the Lil Wayne's, one of the Carters. Got to be one of those.
Everybody's been saying Carter 5.
Yeah, one of them.
It's a pretty good
probably
one.
Probably one of the originals. Probably like the Carter 3, Carter 2, one of them.
Yeah? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carter 3 is good. I like Carter 3. I've heard more Carter 5s on this question than I have any other one. That one and Carter 5 and who else was it? Like Lil Baby or something like that. Everybody loves Baby. But
Lil Baby, NBA Youngboy, wasn't it?
Oh, NBA Youngboy, that's who it was. That's who it was. Yep, that's who it was. All right. How do you decompress from football? What's a hobby you're into?
How I decompress? Probably either playing golf. I like to go play golf or video games, or if I'm not doing any of those, I'm just watching my son Mac. That's all. That brings me joy.
That's awesome. Is Max here in Memphis with you?
Yeah, Mac. Yeah.
You said Mac?
Yeah, Max in Memphis. Yeah, Mac. M-A-C.
Oh, Mac. Okay. Yeah, sorry. That's awesome, man. Yeah, Once you have a, once you're a father, man, there's very little time for hobbies, right?
Yeah, especially with camp and all that. It's even tougher.
It's even tougher. Hey, listen, Caden, I'm going to let you get out of here, man, because you've got a lot going on. I want you to get some rest, get your body recovered, and then get out there and kill it, man. I'm excited, and I know Tiger fans are excited to have, having known your name for you know, 3 years now, I'm excited to see you out there this year, and I think it's going to be a really fascinating thing to see your elevation, your growth this year.
I'm excited. We're all excited. Everybody's excited. We're ready to kick off Mississippi State.
29 days, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. It's going to be here before you know it. Before summer, January's already flew by.
You ain't lying, bro. Hey, listen, like I said, I appreciate it, man. Thank you for joining me.
No problem. It was good talking to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Tigers and 20 Off the Boards. If you enjoyed this episode, we would love for you to leave a rating and a comment wherever you download your podcast. If you are interested in daily content all about the University of Memphis athletic program, head over to www.gotigers247.com. Articles are published daily, and you can join the Go Tigers 247 family by signing up for a VIP membership for even more behind-the-scenes information.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.